stupid, actually. Oh, wait, I was going to do that. I was going to do that one. Okay. Where'd you find a blank?
Context.
The context of our own place in the cosmos.
The conceptual context. We have it's just littered around here. It's like strewn you're about all
read
haphazard.
Between the lines.
It's just pieces of conceptual extension cords are all over here.
And it's between the words that those actions occur.
Looks like they've actually gotten some kind of self-consumption thing going on here.
Say you're looking at a comic book, and in one panel there's something happening one way, and in another panel it's happening another way. The action occurs in the space between the panels, in the white space. That's when the change happens from one panel to the other. The action is happening in the space between the words that we use.
I know,
but
wasn't supposed to laugh.
Science has also discovered how strong giant lizards actually are using computer modeling, according to the latest scientific journal. I'm talking, of course, about the Komodo dragon. Yes, well-named giant monitor lizard, Varanus komodoensis. And, it's 10 feet long and 300 pounds, and it eats big pigs and other things. Furthermore,
and little pigs.
Well, the little ones,
tasty
too.
Tasty little pigs.
Snaps them up as they run about.
Two, three at a time.
Squealing. Yes, it's been known to happen. And not only that, it'll bite you, and then in a little while you'll be so sick.
It'll be so sad.
That it will come and chew you up and swallow you down.
Now, when it chews, doesn't it leave, like, just infected saliva?
It doesn't matter whether or not it's infected, because you're dead. But if it bit you, yes, you'd be poisoned by its horribly toxic mouth. Its rotted, carrion-coated teeth would definitely put you in a world of hurt, or at least a continent of hurt. But then he'd come back later and take one snappity bite, and there you'd be, down his gully. And a computer model has shown the distribution of stress on a Komodo skull.
Oh, I see it here. I can see it. Very good graphics, Dr. Howe. These curvilinear charts are
it's
very
a hologram.
Easy to read.
Either that or it's a personal hallucination.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming you can see
porno.
This.
I can see that your extrapolation technique. What algorithm did you use to complete this diagram?
Finite element analysis, an engineering tool usually applied to car and plane design to investigate the stresses on the skull of a rampaging giant
lizard.
And
that's what you used this time, right, to compile your data?
Well, it all started with a digital model of a Komodo in mid-bite. But then material... Well, you're a computer guy.
Sure,
you ought to understand.
I'm a computer guy.
From there, it practically writes itself, you know.
I hear you,
program writes itself.
Yeah,
it's
it
almost
does. You
as
don't
if
even
it
know
wants
you can
to come into
say
existence.
Say no more. Say no more. Enough said, dude.
Researchers now say
I'm
that
not hearing our guest.
The rear
in the
skull muscles, combined
our
with those
guest.
In the neck, work with 60 razor sharp teeth.
Sort of hearing her in the back
to,
of the ambient part.
There she is.
Starting to hear her.
And ladies and gentlemen,
hi,
this
Dr.
is this is Pittsburgh's own Fat Mandy, who is here in our studio with us this evening.
Hello, Puzzling Evidence.
This is our last question.
Yes, we're being hailed by Fat Mandy.
Are you hearing yourself on the headphones?
I can hear myself
I see.
On
no,
the
it's that.
And isn't it better
it's
for the having YouTube. The headphones, eh?
Thank
without
you.
Headphones, one is nothing. Mercy of the
I just
mix.
Wish I could see your shining faces. I wish
you
I could make
our
I can't see
well,
your
make,
shining
make
faces.
Make a Card House Robot
yeah,
move to the left.
Yeah.
You
force
can
him over there. Just shove him that
your
way.
Your chair have wheels
tool.
On it?
Oh,
and your
then
chair
you can
has
slide
wheels.
To the left.
Therefore,
and
wheel
then you
yourself.
Mobile.
You can our
take at an angle a gander into our particular cubiculum and there peer and leer at us to the distraction. Of your satisfaction.
Christina was thinking about staying up tonight to call the show, and she'll be disappointed now.
How come she didn't? Now
she was tired.
Tired.
It's late. Did you know this? It's this show's on
asleep.
Really late for some people.
Smooth
and
by
really
long
early
fingers.
For others.
Asleep. Tired.
Back to the knitting arachnids. Did you see where they gathered these big orb spiders in Madagascar? I believe it was.
Fake orb spiders. You say?
And they collected the spinnings, the weblets, and have made a textile of it.
Really?
Textile.
Like silk. It's
how
much like silk,
that
eh?
Is it not? A fascinating process. And I'll tell you right here and now that spider silk is incredibly superior to silkworm silk, and when made into a lady's garment, has a silvery shimmer not found anywhere else in nature.
How perfect.
But it's extraordinarily difficult to produce.
Okay.
And no one has ever been able to do it successfully because...
I would think it'd be so sticky.
It's not, though.
You have to get the sticky stuff off.
Spiders produce different types of silk, and not all are sticky. In fact, the sticky part is less than the support structure of the web, which is... The stickiness, by the way, is applied to the strand after the spider spins it. For years, it was not known how this was done, and a small purse was offered in England for any naturalist.
A small purse? Did it have any money in it?
Well, yes.
Unfortunately,
bejeweled?
No.
I like
just
bejeweled.
It's good to have some money.
It was made
in it.
Out of small spider silk.
So small it could only hold like a nickel.
It was more than that, but it was not like the big bucks, you know, from the people who wanted to find out why spider web mucilage was on there and why the drops were exactly even on the strand with microscopic accuracy. Each drop was the exact same distance.
Just a silly millimeter longer.
Now, how did the spider know to do that?
Margin.
So they had offered a reward. It was called
another
a small purse at
right?
the time. Yeah, the same
another,
small purse as before. That's the one we were talking about. They offered that to anyone who could find out. And finally, some kid found out. Some kid was watching. It's very difficult to know what you're seeing when you're watching a spider, and you have to spend hours doing it. But he discovered that the spider squirts its goo onto the strand and then reaches back with one leg and goes boit and pulls the strand, causing it to vibrate, and that vibration separates the drops. So they're exactly the same distance apart.
That's so hot.
That is amazing. And I'm assuming that vibration is the same frequency no matter where the spider's located on the strand.
KPFA, 94.1 FM on the radio dial.
You can listen on the miracles of the interweb at KPFA.
The curse of the haunted wailing
it's
demon.
The anti-420.
Oh, I better get that. Then.
Oh, well, anyway, continue listening to your carols. You know, the Komodo, his sweet thing was, you're infected, and he doesn't really run after you. you just smell through your necrotic issue and then... Yeah.
Well, you say he doesn't
want to have
you.
That's all he needs is your necrotic issue.
But
I don't know. I usually bury my necrotic for one,
it depends on how urgent it is for the animal to feed.
Unless it's still distended,
the animal could run after you and finish you off. Depending on the severity of the bite that it inflicted.
That would be one you'd rather shed.
It is, after all, designed by evolution to be able to sense when is the most propitious moment to take the prey, that is to say, to take the prey and do as little damage as possible to yourself, the predator.
You'll be praying soon yourself, Dr. Hal.
Designed. Yes.
You'll be down on your knees, crying to the Lord you left behind so long ago. There you'll be, like a little bitty baby boy.
Yes, a tiny bouncing a bambino. What a little bounder he is. What's that, Sonny? A ding-dang hammer spider? What is... speak up a little louder. I can't... Oh, a camel spider. Bum, bum, bum. Yes, a camel spider.
Did it have a hump?
He's also known as a soul fugid or soul pugid.
Oh, man, that's a tongue tire for
that's
me.
Hot,
I
want
to have children, and I want them to be twins, and I want to name them soul fugid and soul pugid.
They would be unbearable monsters in that case, if they... If they resembled their name's sake in any way.
Until they sauntered off and killed everything within an arm's length.
By chewing it up with their giant mandibles.
Children. Yeah, exactly. No table manners.
The soul pugid has no venom, or until recently was thought to have no venom. But
how does it develop that pinch?
It's got two giant, horrible, side-by-side mounted pinchers on the front of its face that gape with horrible spikes and hairs all over them, ready to slice into your flesh.
We covered this material last week.
Yes, that's right. We were already here last week.
We want you to look on the internet and watch that.
Look it up on the internet. There are many horrible videos.
But
there are many horrible videos on YouTube.
This territory is really bogging me down. It's bogging down my mind. Because it seems like deja vu, and I've been...
All right, let's dismiss this.
My shoes are worn out from covering that territory.
Think of that terrible reason in World War II.
Stimulated into
such
a...
We'll go back on your commodas.
No, I think it's time to get off
Let's
the Komodo.
Think more about Jericho Reese, yeah, the World War II bomber throwing up.
Yes, Jericho
ship
Reese.
Or get off the Komodo.
We'll be throwing up in the genuine, authentic World War II bomber as he makes a bombing run over Berkeley.
You're
going to
bomb the Komodo now,
oh,
eh?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
What a shame. Have you no shame?
On the Action Jackson 5 puppet show, you'll see Jericho wince and whimper as he contemplates a life of marital servitude.
I woke up in Johnny's room, Mama.
Standing over Johnny's
Johnny,
bed.
Standing right there
Mama.
Next to his bed.
Johnny touched me in all the dirty places, Mama.
With my fingers on his throat, Mama. Wishing both of us was dead.
You'll be sharing those.
There you go.
Sharon and Karen. What an adorable pair of twins they were. But is it possible to make artificial spider silk? We have spoken of the attractiveness of spider silk encasing the female form. A shapely female leg clothed in shimmering spider silk. Has existed because...
Actually, the next up is a Ballad of the Toy Soldiers.
It's really hard to do, but that doesn't mean that in the past despots and princes have actually gotten people to make clothes for them out of spider silk. And that's how we know how cool it looks. One of the early czars reproached one of his mistresses for the indelicacy of her costume.
Oh, right.
Although she wore eight thicknesses of spider silk on that occasion.
Yeah, I can see
And what
that.
An it's, outfit it must
it's
have
It's almost transparent.
Now, we can create an artificial spider silk.
Very difficult.
It's hard to wash
get
silk.
Those stains out
you try
of
not
so
to
delicate.
Splash goulash on it at a party, you know? But we cannot manufacture spider silk as effectively as our eight-legged friends. a spider's silk gland is a very efficient chemical factor.
Now, how do we get that? Do we have to grow our own silk glands? We grab
this spider's
silk gland
a
on
mixture of liquid
young children,
protein, which
and
is
then
able
when they're 12 or 15 years old, we can squeeze
one
the
silk gland per child. So that's going to take a while.
Incidentally, one of the best spiders for producing spider silk for my ladies' underlings and
anal fish or tissue
little nothings would be notorious black widow spider, which produces some of the strongest spider silk around.
Yep.
If you've ever encountered a black widow web, you know how tough it is compared to other spider webs. It has great strength and pull, and you can instantly recognize that you're poking your finger into the web of one of these deadly spiders because it feels like there's considerable resistance.
Feel this right now.
The spider, incidentally, only attacks when you stick your finger into its mouth. In general, they, it's live and let live. Unless they fair, but if you stick your finger into their web, then the deadly spider will bite you. And being bitten by a black widow is a medical emergency.
That's no fun!
I'm terrified of the things they sneak up on.
Okay, children, please pick out your book of the subgenus.
I can live with that.
And turn to page 96.
Artificial spider silk could have many applications. Scientists have suggested using it for lightweight, durable patch materials, parachutes, surgical sutures, and even waterproof
breasts. Verily, I say unto ye.
Producing it synthetically is a two-part process. Scientists must manufacture the proteins and find a way to form them into superfine spider.
Say verily.
And then you still have that look, that old leg of yours coming up.
Eight legs, my friend.
Say verily.
Yes.
To me.
Oh, but you could have the band, too. And, man, you could have looks with those eight-eyed glasses.
Say it, baby! Say it!
Testify.
Come on back now.
That's right.
What?
Limping and a pimping with my eight-eyed sunglasses.
This is a modicum of slack is leaking out of this container here.
And so spider scientists have had success with the first part and the party of the first part, genetically modifying everything they can find, from bacteria to goats to farmers to produce
proteins.
Evil slack.
No, not evil.
Entero parasites.
Plain
slack.
It doesn't have a yellow cloud.
They made out their home in that bulbous abdomen.
Only whiffable by a third nostril.
Ah, yes, the third nostril opening procedure.
You'll floss your teeth.
The third eye chakra nostril, yeah.
You can actually grip this one.
You could, yes, I would, but
to grip your third eye nostril.
Oh, I
fear not for the splinters.
Well,
in the eyes, like in that movie you like so much.
You can't. I didn't say I like
the eyes.
Beware the eyes that paralyze. No one will be admitted.
Have you noticed how many dots are in the
of
eyes themselves?
Eyeball the motion picture.
I really
picture.
Don't.
It's about what you
look
think
closely.
It's
the
about.
Eyes are covered with dots.
An eyeball.
I never thought about that.
Part eyeball. Of the eye has a big dot.
I always
they called him
eyeballs.
Big Dot.
Symbol.
Called him Old Dot Face.
But he was just an eyeball. Oh, that guy.
Back when he come down off the hill.
J.R. Bob Dot
said, "Lo and verily."
Where was Moses when the lights went out?
In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is outnumbered.
Yes, and then there was the bulrushes caper in ancient Egypt.
In the land of the ass-kickers, the
land
one-legged man is king.
Hail, great king. You'll never guess who we found in the bulrushers.
In the land of the no-legged people.
Old times there is not forgotten.
I once saw a man with so many legs it was unnatural, I tell you.
Are you sure that was a man you saw?
I don't. Actually, it would have been a sulpicatudinous spider.
Can't you're right. It could have been. It could have been the spider god. And the Native Americans know well enough not to inflame his anger against them. And then there is Yig, the father of serpents, who also you don't want to get on your case. Yep.
I like my case generally stayed off of.
Now, the Association of Professional Animal Waste Specialists has a conference in
Nashville,
Tennessee.
Careful, the machine will start and will draw your clothing down into it.
Nashville has a great music scene, of course. Everyone knows this, but it also has
to be a cog, a big cog, in a
the world's most famous people management convention
to actually make the wheel operate properly.
Taxi Bob here.
The purpose of this convention is to provide continuing education, especially for professional feces collectors.
Well, we got eyeballs somewhere. Where else are you going to? Where can you go at 3 o'clock in the morning to find out about
eyeballs? Well, it reminds me of that movie
Seminars and the Cyclops. The organization scatters
Polyphemus.
Yeah, that's right.
Polyphemus, they put his eye out.
By telling him his name was No Man.
Professional.
Why would they be so mean as Kirk Douglas?
I felt sorry for him.
And they did it with a stick that been.
You guys do that at X Day like that, right?
Yeah, we do that a lot.
Fat Mandy was singing and they virtually poked some guy's eye out with a virtual stick.
It was incredible.
But this year we were trying to go back to finding the brothers and the BB guns because it happened so much more naturally.
What were they called? The Mad Brothers?
We had the
Mad Drummond. The Drummond.
The Drunk Drummonds.
As you know, any time you fire a BB gun, it invariably goes into your brother's eye.
Right. That's why we thought we'd save time in terms of putting eyes out. If we could get a lot of brothers there and a lot of BB guns, we might be able to make that happen.
Us, the older brothers,
Dr. Frederick,
we can stand anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. And shoot the
injury
to your brother's
eye
and wherever he is in the eye.
And we can perform short duration marriages between siblings in case we need to get some surrogate brothers in there. If your real physical brother's not there and you need a surrogate brother, we can perform a short duration marriage to make that
between
happen.
Inbred hillbillies and dribbling siblings.
Yes, that is possible. It's not for the purposes of sex, it's for the purposes of pulling
having
off some
sibling.
kind of BB gun eyeball putting.
And you can have
ceremony.
Like a comforting love
sibling rivalry.
Kind of
but you know,
by the time you hear this show, there will be a law in California that you have to have a sibling to shoot with a BB gun. If you don't, you can be arrested.
We're
you
all
can have,
siblings here and yet not rivals.
Yeah. We're the ones that perform the step sibling marriage.
And you can buy a step sibling for about $100.
You can make anybody else, your brother or sister, simply by this particular form of subgenius marriage ceremony called a step-sibling marriage.
Is it a form of shore derper, sir?
Sure, it's as shore or law as long as you want to make it, you know.
I've performed many of those because it suits chickens' caprices.
I specialize in 20-minute ones myself.
Uncle Onan from Portland sent you a present, and here it is.
Yeah, we're just supposed to open
it. It says, for Philo.
For Philo.
And here, for puzzling evidence, is this time capsule.
Thank you.
And an
Uncle
interesting
Onan.
Time
Thank
capsule.
I'm looking forward to getting down with you.
There's some classic stuff
self.
In there.
Oh,
just the artifact itself is interesting.
Cool. Yeah.
Mindless self-indulgence.
The backs of those articles have the incredible old stuff on them.
I like
the articles
themselves.
Just recently, I spent many nights going through chronicles from.
Yes, I know you're trying to get rid of this stuff, but just for fun.
Hey, Onan, I guess I'll see you soon. We'll all be up there.
Yeah, we're going to be coming up
Except
there.
Except Fat Mandy, she's not singing. It's a subgenius something or other there.
Not this
Why
one.
Why am I not singing at the subgenius something or other
it's
there?
It's not my something or other. I'm just
doing PDX,
be a cool guy.
PDX,
yeah.
Portland
What's
DX
the date on it?
Divide.
Where is it?
October 11th.
October 11th. I could be there. They probably don't want me. They probably all think I'm fat.
Well, that's a P-H-A-T.
What
folks.
Does that have to do with anything?
Actually, you'll find that most subgeniuses are of a sort of a portly plane. Aspect. A good round rotundity.
They probably think we're not ectoplasm.
What city is that sucker in? You said Eugene or Portland?
It's Portland.
Portland. Portland, Oregon. I have four reasons to go to Portland right now.
Yeah. 4 and 20 blackberries.
Well, you'll have to get
that. That's the only place you can
need
build.
20 more, though. Oh, you
get the pie.
Planner's number.
To burst the canvassing. Wasn't that
you
a thing?
You need to call your planner's number to that thing.
Oh, like,
all right,
I told
everybody,
Crawford you were coming.
I know, I just wanted to get
but yeah, I got it here.
How
you
many beans
it?
I've yeah, got in this jar? Here's the jar. Now, how many beans would you say are in here? Think carefully, because you only get one chance. No, don't laugh. This is serious. So you didn't, I mean, obviously it's low comedy even to mention it, but what about that? That weird convention in Nashville where they are...
Hey, man, here.
Oh, well, I won't even
When's
mention...
When's the convention in Nashville? What's that
she
for?
She just don't...
Is it music?
No, it's not it connected to music. It's the 7th Annual Association of Professional Animal Ooh. Waste Specialists.
Oh, yeah, wow. I heard about that. Oh, I did, I heard about that.
It's all about feces collecting
it's
and the latest
about...
techniques...
Yeah, do they have that? They have the whole coprophile thing going on there, right?
Well, not that would be unofficial because this is a professional association. The conference is run to provide continuing
Smith.
Education specifically for professional pooper scoopers Ooh. From around the country, and the
Super
lineup
duper pooper
includes
scoopers.
Motivational speeches, seminars, and a scooper bowl, as they call it. While
That's
the
Super Bowl
organizers scatter faux feces around the convention hotel grounds, then professional scoopers race competing against each other to
Gaddafi,
grab
we're
going to
open that back up.
Gaddafi. Oh,
it's Gaddafi's October really worried.
Yeah, Gaddafi wants us to open up the JFK
I'm
assassination.
The
yeah, we could have
it's
coffee
October
with Gaddafi
10th.
Every morning.
Well, we
Cyclone of Slack is slamming into Portland.
Yeah, that's
tell us more about it. Tell us more about it.
Okay, well, let's see. It's on the miracle of the interweb. Hold on.
It's on Facebook.
I'm not on
If you look on
it's coming up on Twitter.
There's a more complete one on Subsite.
It's on
to keep Portland
it's
weird,
up.
beard, etc. But is Portland sufficiently mutated?
I don't know.
The Church
know.
Of the Subgenius says hell no.
Yeah, that
the
sounds like
Pacific
typical
Northwest
Subgenius
grand,
propaganda.
Blah, blah, October 10th, 2009. Cyclone of Slack is slamming into Portland, bringing blah, blah, blah. Psychedelic Stang Owl.
Doctor. Psychedelic Stang. There you go.
We are Doe, Onan of Cannabite, the Duke of Uke, and Reverend Crawford with Power Circus and Nakadom Vacuum and the Cult of Zero. Oh, you're going to have a wingding to end all wingdings.
Well, that's what they'd like you to believe. And who knows? Maybe they will.
There's a more complete one
that
actually includes all of the attendees and participants.
And then the next week is the Elmina.
Yeah, I'd like to know more about the attendees and participants.
Well,
I
know that I have got the airplane reservation.
When do you go up? Oh, I should say.
I believe it is on the day of the event itself. I fly up there, and I leave on the following Monday.
Oh, don't ever change.
Where are you staying?
I believe at the Nenzlo residence, although I might have to shift, depending on how willing he is to
He's probably very,
me.
Very, very,
We don't know.
Or
you know, also, it's possible I might have to... Nenzlo says he won't allow people to go to an after party or anything because he and Donna go to bed and that's that. And that's his right, but possibly I might have to crash somewhere else that night. Anyway, these are minor matters, not to be...
I think I could go, actually. It's on a Saturday. The opera runs Monday through Wednesday. that October 10th, I don't have anything going on. And I have like four friends that are all screaming for me to come to Portland. Radcliffe is there, and he's not really screaming for me to come.
What you're hearing now is the version of my geez, Bob, as mutated and performed by Wilhelm Stahlhelm, the long version. And let's talk about your opera, Fat Mandy, because not many folks know about this production, which seems in one giant leap to have gone above its humble roots and into the mainstream of popular culture.
I wouldn't quite say that. The venue is really quite lovely, though.
It's Teatro Zanzani, isn't it?
It is. I've never seen it before. It's this 200-year-old Belgian circus tent with all this beautiful woodwork and mirrors and stained glass everywhere.
And it's the first opera
installed here for 10 years
based on Burning Man. Pepe Ozan, strange
He's
opera.
Actually not involved.
Yes, I know. He isn't, but... some of us remember.
But he did inspire us quite a bit. Chris Fueling, the director, directed a lot of those with Pepe and helped write those, as did Oliver.
They were great spectacles, and there was something wonderful about them, I have to say.
They inspired me. They changed my life, definitely.
Yes, those were the days.
That's inspiring me right now.
Man, it's kind of killing the show, though.
Anyhow, how to survive the apocalypse and burning opera.
That's the name of it. How to Survive the Apocalypse.
It's a ridiculous show. It's a funny show.
Describe this show.
It kind of reminds me of like a
caring way.
Hee-haw meets Bollywood at the sight of the man ashes.
Well, that sounds intriguing. Now, what was were those French people doing filming stuff?
They were filming.
Were they terrorists? Were they scoping out a terrorist attack?
They were at Burning Man, and they were
camping next to us at the Burning Man.
But they were French.
They were French, and they were...
French?
They were how you say
backdrops for the opera, because we're going to have giant video backdrops projected. So, entrances and exits and things like that. And different atmospheric shots. But the music is lots of fun, and the cast is incredible. Stefanos plays the mustachio John Law-inspired character.
He's a talented guy.
He's got a lovely voice.
He was. You know, he was in the Emperor Norton musical, and he played one of Emperor Norton's dogs, either Bummer or Lazarus. I don't know which one. But it was funny that he had the best singing voice in the whole show. One of these dogs.
And Marisa Lenhart, the diva from Death Guild, David Best, Temple Burns, is in it.
Uh-huh.
And Harley and Michael play themselves.
I'd be quite interested, of course.
Sounds very interesting.
I'm afraid I'm too much of a...
My favorite is the polyamory square dance.
Well, how does one get a ticket to this production, Mandy?
The website is burningopera.com, and Teatro Zanzani also has a page up for buying the tickets, but all the links are at burningopera.com. We're going up October 5th, 6th, and 7th, and then the following Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Monday the 5th, 6th, and 7th, and then the following Monday, 12th, 13th, and 14th. And the tickets are $35 for outer ring, $45 for inner ring, $250 for a booth that seats 6, and $300 for booth that seats 8.
Inner ring, that's like first camp and stuff.
It's right around this neat little like round thingy that raises up. It's terrifying.
Now, do you have any type of content exposition that you can share with us and our audience here on the show from this particular event?
Oh, yes, I do. Of course, I do.
To help.
After we say KPFA 94.1 and KPFB 89.3 or KFCF Fresno online, KPFA.org.
KZFR in Chico, where everyone wears white pants called chinos.
And what? I don't want you. What, track 5?
Yeah, these actually aren't songs from the opera.
Oh.
But these are songs that I could
would say. They give us? Would
Tarzan's
they give us
Railroad
an idea
Mystery.
Of this opera in terms of...
It'll give you an idea of my...
Are you going to do a live version of one of these opera songs?
The opera is itself live, no?
No, I mean here in the studio, an actual... perform an actual
right now.
Piece for
sure,
us?
Sure, I guess I could. Like I signed a non-disclosure agreement.
Oh, you did? Okay.
It's in the name of
in that case, maybe we should.
How about something else, then?
Yeah, we shouldn't do.
You know what
we
I'd like,
to
too, some point is a good copy of your favorite rendition of the Felicity song. So that I can
from the show in. Felicity, the TV show?
No, the one that she wrote for Felicity.
Do you want me to sing that one?
If sure. You don't have any music.
I didn't put it on the backing track.
No, there's no hurry in that. Just then.
It might be on the other one that I have in the hallway. Do you want me to go look?
Sure.
Okay.
We've got a booming sound.
Now I'm going to read from scripture while they're getting that stuff. I've got this long, boring. Oh, I mean the pre-scriptures.
Now,
therefore, verily, I say unto ye, verily, verily, verily,
verily.
Ever since man has given sufficient cognizance to question his environment. What now? What? When did we leave somebody out back there? Sorry, was that a mistake?
Go on. You said ever since he has been cognizant to question his environment.
He has developed quite a variety of theories about the universe around him. Some of these theories are just totally wacky, I have to tell you. A few schools of thought have been amazingly close to the mark, though. More recently, the alchemists of 400 years ago. They envisioned a universe composed of four basic elements, earth, water, fire, and air. And now we are ready. We are back in the studio with our special guest performer.
But we should say that those alchemists were right, after all.
Oh, yes.
That is correct.
That is correct.
What about earth, air, fire, and water? We just, it's a different terminology than what we use.
Well, we know that there's also a new set of basic elements, including gravity.
Plastic.
Electromagnetism.
Solid, gas.
Weak nuclear force.
Liquid
and energy. And the strong nuclear force to go along with earth, fire.
And umami.
Air.
Is that like...
And water.
What's umami?
That's the...
Edamame is the...
You've heard of a tsunami.
Soybean.
I know what edamame is, but what's umami?
That's the sixth sense, the savory taste you get from...
And don't forget Umaga, who was one of the lesser-known members of the...
A friend of mine once
the famous
MSG while he was
fighting Tongan family of wrestlers.
It was a
That's
bad idea.
That's a lot of three-letter acronyms there.
To eat a bunch of MSG while you're under
MSG.
You're just not supposed to mix the three-letter ones.
He tasted his tongue for 12 hours.
Dear Mom.
It was horrible.
On acid. Yeah.
No, his tongue was so well seasoned. It was difficult not to chew it up.
Talk about ego death.
Yeah, it's like smelling a booger for 8 hours on acid.
It's reverb. So
you've done that too.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow. Believe me, out of it.
You guys
That's
are like Howard heads. I've got to unlock my mind just to think about it.
Isn't that what Dobbs supposedly said? Believe me, out of it?
Right, Dobbs did say that.
He did it?
When he was unmasking the false prophets in the marketplace.
Yes.
In
he
front,
was,
by pulling their pants down in the back.
Yes, he was changing the moneylenders by, that is, changing them by...
in front of the grocery store?
Yeah, but it was temple. All for the purposes of pulling the wool over... His eyes.
It turned out that what he meant by wool was...
Was the wool made out of spider silk?
The wool was... Yeah, same way. It was hair, kind of hair. Some people said hair. Some people said
like
spider
silk. Yeti fur or whatever, but the deal is that they...
it was an organic compound. That's the important thing.
Orgasmic compound?
Sure. Orgasmic, organic, or somewhere in between. We didn't care. It didn't make any difference at that point because the buckets were completely filled.
Did you get a siphon?
Good point.
To get all that evil slag out?
You could get it out with a siphon, or you could just leave it in there and stir it.
But we didn't want to kick the bucket.
Let it coagulate.
The girls are super hot in the opera. Holy cow. The girls are super hot.
That's an important part of every opera, I think.
And the voices...
Well, it should be given air conditioning.
But wow, are they hot. The girls are holy
really?
Moly.
We've been
and
having
they're very scantily clad, right?
Yeah, well...
A tropical heat wave.
You can only do partial nudity in the space, you know.
Right.
But
Elsa's is good enough.
What?
Partial's great.
You can only do partial nudity in
Tell
space?
Tell me about it. Yes, but in space, there's a dress code.
I saw Barbarella. That's true.
Dress code.
And she was hot in space, but very, very partially nude.
And so was Anita Pallenberg.
Hot space.
It's extremely important.
But not Anita Pallenberg.
extremely important that we don't understate the hotness.
Isn't that very hot? Giveaway things on faceplant or something?
These hotness, yeah, this running faceplant thing.
Like
is what you will do when you see how hot these babes are.
Oh, I see.
You will run and face plant.
You will plant your face on
the
nearest.
We took pictures yesterday.
On the steps.
You took those publicity shots?
We did. I was in
a couple hot babes.
With, you were there.
Lots of hot babes. Yeah. I wore goggles that Kimmerick and Sandra made.
Was that to protect you from the hot babes?
Yes. They were blinding.
From the depths of space they came, unthinkable things in the form of curvaceous chorus girls.
Hot babes.
You'll
no
reel and rye as you experience
invasion of the star creatures.
Even the most manly of men withered under their
giant flying bat
gaze.
Feel the giant's rolling cat.
With special co-hit double feature.
Dream of feeling the
Tarzan's
giant
Railroad Mystery.
Mammarian.
You know you're supposed to call 848-4425 and 510 area code, right?
Yes, that's right. 848-4425.
Why do you wait?
In the 510 area code.
Why do you wait any longer, dear brother or sister? Call now.
Well, the reason I was thinking about that song,
you need.
Mandy, is that I was listening to it at Dragon's Breath and thinking how cool it would be to have footage. I have a lot of footage of her walking on swords. And my favorite that I found first was, I'd forgotten about it. She comes up when Chicken John calls for a volunteer to fire, for somebody to fire a firecracker out of their butt.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't do that, did she?
She did, and I have it on tape, and it's a really great shot.
I did that once. You know what? You get all these little burns.
It burns you. Yes. Yes, it does.
It's something only sailors do, you know? It's like, yeah. Tijuana.
There used to be like tattoos. Only sailors got those across the border, and then you
and
know.
Now,
you
look.
And well, now see what.
And
happened.
Now people are putting firecrackers.
Entire punk rock ethos, you see, where you're not supposed to mind that it hurts, as T.E. Lawrence reputedly said.
That's my accordion player.
Yeah, I can see any of those on YouTube. That's plenty close enough to me.
Corniest flakes anybody makes Kellogg's.
Look, there's a wrong way to do things, and there's a right way to do things, and sometimes there's a sort of way in between.
There's a halfway.
It's not really. There's a halfway to do things.
There's a halfway.
There's a half-ass way.
Medium
and
half-witted way.
There's a bass-ackward way to do things.
There's a vast.
And an ass-backward.
Vast way to do
things. You know what? Chloe's up.
And a half-vast.
She hasn't called the show.
Yeah, why hasn't she called the show?
Chloe Lasky?
Maybe it's a different.
Probably having sex right now.
Our good friend.
She calls the show after she does that sometimes.
Well, I think she's going to come and see us.
I wanted to call her and talk to her about other museums in.
There is a Portland State Museum, which Onan was recommending.
Is this while you're viewing the object with your eyes?
There was a toaster museum. There was the, what was that, the whole thing called?
Right?
Woodstock Mystery Hall.
Woodstock Mystery Hall.
Onan could be the key to that, too.
Portland, yeah.
You have to have Onan take you there.
I'd really like to see Radcliffe. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Oh, he's up
my
there, too.
My childhood best friend is in Portland. I haven't seen him since I was 13 and left Altoona, Pennsylvania. I found him on the faceplant.
Is that like the face hug?
Our whole Slack family will be there.
I saw that. It's on Saturday. And maybe some people will come to San Francisco to see him in the opera afterwards.
Yay!
Wait a minute, what?
Hey, can I sing that song?
Yeah. I think it's time.
It's time.
I think it's time.
It's time.
Do you want to do a setup?
A setup of what the song is about?
Oh, here's the setup.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, there once was a beautiful, wonderful girl who still lives on in the hearts and minds of the people who remember her, which is a whole lot of people. And her name was Felicity Perez Bouvier. And she was a beautiful girl who was smart and funny and beautiful. And she could do lots of fascinating things. She was a circus sideshow marvel and a true showwoman. And when she passed away about a year and a half ago, I wrote this song for her. It's called Goodnight to the Sideshow. Show. Goodbye, my dad. We can only see your grave.
I hit that the wrong one.
Should we start it over? Or?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, I think I messed up the lyrics anyways.
From the top, I didn't hear it, but maybe. No, it's starting where...
Is the track okay?
Felicity, she was a good sport as well as a good performer.
Yeah.
Now, do you have anything else you'd like to share with the audience while we're on this this interlude here?
Sure, let's do something. Let's do something a little cheerier. Hey, Puzzling Evidence, do you have that other disc I gave you, the unmarked one?
Yeah.
Do you want to do Gandhi Lives?
Yeah, yeah.
And put on track 6.
Of this vintage motion picture.
Or we could do that love song. Or
no,
that
six,
one,
six
or
the, is good. I want to hear the...
Or oh, the God. Tango. The tango that slams the church. Oh, this is a good one. It's a bluegrass song about Gandhi. Written by Tommy Amoeba. Gandhi lives and Gandhi breathes, but only if you so believe. You act as if you were a saint. Well, Gandhi isn't, and you just ain't. Gandhi is alive and well. He's living in a big hotel. Don't tell his soul, alive or dead. It might come back as Mr. Eddie Shake. Gandhi Shake, you do the shake, 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 shake. Gandhi Shake, shake, shake. Gandhi Shake, you do the shake, shake, shake. Gandhi Shake, shake, shake. Gandhi Shake, you do the shake, 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 shake. Gandhi Shake, shake, shake. Gandhi Shake. Gandhi Lives from my second album, Torch of Blue, which you can find on the interweb. Tommy Amoeba wrote it.
And you did that one at X Day, as I recall.
I did.
On the Brushwood stage.
With my husband, who sang his theme song.
The incomparable
Ballad of
Tommy Amoeba.
Boy, that X Day, it must be like the Burning Man.
It's really nothing like the Burning Man.
That's right. That's what I must emphasize. It's absolutely nothing whatsoever. Of course, there is a burning of a, well, you wouldn't call it a man, but...
I mean, like a bob thing? Sorry there, I opened up an amoeba's paradise.
Hey, open up a can of worms that time.
I'll put it back in and just...
I'm referring to the bonfire, which I didn't make this last X Day because I was so exhausted.
Much like the bonfire that General Hancock insists that the Cheyennes come to. And the Cheyennes know that anybody meets at a fire at night is a liar.
And so they knock out ashes on your boots. Oh, just a moment. Drive it or park it, lady.
Flavored apples.
And
people
the
ate
show.
Them.
Okay, now you've driven up to the show, and the crowd is going crazy.
Now is the time to say...
Give me a Viceroy smoke, it's the one that's right, right any time of the day. Oh, this noise, the sound, the wave like Saracen.
I think it's called Archive Series of interviews with people, and I was just watching Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis. Save Jerry's kids.
Yeah, these, you should watch those. These interview series are marvelous.
Well, you know,
what year was it?
What an amazing guy. Oh, when they shot them just a few years ago.
Oh.
And he was doing, they're trying to go around and get all the old guys and do interviews and give many hours of yakking, but he was really an amazing guy. And talking about his friend Dean Martin.
Have you read Nick Tosh's book on Dean Martin?
No.
Oh, it's excellent. Must read.
Cool. Yeah.
What's Nick's take on Jerry?
If I
Well, he's kind of seeing it through Dean's eyes, and Dean wasn't happy with Jerry, so...
Oh, I see. Here are the Martini forces attacking the Lewis-Dinian forces. This is only in Cardell's Robot's mind, of course. I don't even have... They didn't even give me an animation file for this one.
Oh, I apologize for that.
Wow, it's so lifelike and realistic.
What are you looking at? I can't see anything on my monitor.
Now, these are... this is some sort of Egyptian frieze or something like that?
Yeah.
What are...
It's got peanut butter in it, berries, soy milk.
Boy, give me two.
An Egyptian freeze.
How about some of these Haw Flakes? Have you tried those?
Yeah.
You know, the Egyptians could freeze things. Their technology was awesome.
They're only 50 cents a pack.
Haw Flakes.
Haw Flakes, yeah.
Haw Flakes. Haw.
Just sugar and haw.
Sugar and haw.
Haw berries.
Haw, short for hawthorn.
Most people bought overseas
the white
rabbit.
And
white rabbit. Remember those? White rabbit candy. And they came in a tin. And all my friends in Japan would buy them because it was white rabbit. And then they put their weed in.
And mid-May's eldest
child. You know that?
The coming must
rose. Those people that did weed.
Full of dewy wine.
Why would you?
Yeah, you wouldn't put weed in there.
Haunt of flies.
Nobody has the weed now.
That's a form of backsliding. These days, if you fall into that weed trap,
well, they didn't.
Yeah, we always think that snack is more like a frop thing.
Frop doodle doo, huh?
If you've got a habit, a worldwide lifelong habit you want to indulge in,
I do.
Try slack.
Land of the free.
Got to watch out for
the
habits. Habits are all
try cattle mutilations. We've done that for years.
Cattle mutilators. Won't you let me join your crew?
If you want to be a cattle mutilator,
your life, I'll cut up cows.
Come on down and join the Church of the Subgenius. We'll teach you how to cut out the most arcane body parts. Those parts you didn't even know a cow had.
I forgot to bring
you can cleanly excise them and mail them to your friends for funny jokes.
And I bought a way too big saucer, Junior.
It was
a little saucer that is supposed to
be. You can cut up your friend's cow and blame it on a flying saucer.
Out in the hall.
Where is my
and it's so nicely made that I couldn't pass it up. You know, and it's just the right size for my miniature photography in the desert. It's only this big. And little Nazis are in it, I guess.
And the Cardhouse robot.
Have you seen the Nazis in the saucer?
No, you can't see them in the pleasure version, I guess. But I've seen endless clips of them on YouTube. They have the movies of that little
dark,
unpronounceable flying saucer taking off from the hollow earth with little tiny Nazis with little tiny
Nazi hell creatures.
And Nazi hell creatures, exactly. And it's a really nice little treatment of a flying saucer. It makes Hal giggle, but they won't be laughing when
all you tiny Nazis, hold still.
You are fodder.
Wiggling.
Just look for the... That's what they told Custer. Just look for the worms moving. That's the
worms.
Yeah, the
caller, what happened?
The
caller, what happened? Caller, what happened?
Now,
what
color.
Happened at How Caller's is, last stand?
Now art
where's
dust.
Where's Gilroy?
This is a helicopter.
Just
what?
South
what's
of here.
Why?
Oh, it's chimp stomp.
Because broke for...
Worms, Nazis, flying saucers.
Yeah, we're dropping right into the U.S.
We were trying to get to the subject of ancient
Egypt. What part do you play in this evil plan?
Unleashed the terrors of the underworld.
And apparently knew how to make ice, but I...
Yeah.
The ancient ones did?
I already explained in an earlier installment of the Dr. Hal Arbeiter Blattung.
And what color are your pants when you get up to go out and eat in the morning?
I'm telling you, I did cover this subject of how the ancient Egyptians froze things in one of my early diatribes on the chicken johnny.
What's that in your pocket?
You know,
plastic spoon?
In fact, it appears...
You have an earthenware jug in
it. What is that in your
pocket? Exactly. That's it. That's it. You found it, right? Did you find it?
It's creepy.
I learned that from Bill Spike.
Well, it periodically appears on the Dr. Hal website, but I have no control over when that particular thing
You don't even have any control over the Dr. Hal website, right?
You're damn right I don't. Do you think I want to spend my time running damn clap-trap contraption full of carrot-idle and foo-for-all? That ding-futzer.
He has one of his
writing HTML tags,
but I was trying to explain
notepad.
How is all this happening?
As you know,
he's doing this on my computer.
Egyptian gods were deposed by the heretical pharaoh.
HTML
pharaoh
tool that really works for you.
I'm sure everybody's heard of that interesting pharaoh Akhenaten, who ruled from 1353 to 1336
BC. I run three copies at the same time.
Really?
Don't you hate that?
He's known for his strangely elongated head and female-like figure, but also for getting rid of all the gods of Egypt and replacing them with a single god, the solar
god. The gods of Egypt had it easy. They didn't have to do any HTML.
The sun god.
They didn't have to do any code.
And in doing this, or perhaps as something
the gods of Egypt, all they had to do is eat some people every now and then.
The two kingdoms of Egypt fell into famine and chaos.
That's probably a good thing.
And the mess could only be cleaned up by a right-wing takeover from the pharaoh Horemheb.
It's always a right-wing takeover.
And yes, to get rid of the mess, the chaos.
Why would you say it's a wing takeover?
Well, that was in between, actually. In fact, that was the famous King Tut. He occurred right between
King
those
two
pharaohs.
King Tut was lying his ass off.
King Tut was utterly inconsequential. He meant nothing to history, and that's how his whole tomb was spared, because nobody cared to find it.
Oh.
As opposed to the great pharaohs, who they were always scheming to try to get the treasure, King Tut was like a footnote to history, and he died when still a teenager.
Speaking
but
of gold, Akhenaten, did you hear about
was a strange-looking character. He had a voluptuous body shape and an elongated head and neck. And in ancient depictions, these physical anomalies have long puzzled and perplexed historians.
The wandering metal detector guy wandering around the countryside in Europe somewhere. Stumbles across a Saxon gold hoard that's been there since 735.
That has happened, and also there's the evidence of
really exciting
the Mildenhall treasure in England. The Mildenhall treasure was a complete, perfect set of silver Roman plates that was discovered in a farmer's field. And not only plate, but all the treasures that this Roman family had buried.
This emperor knew the farmer.
Well, they were a family in Britain, and Rome had fallen, and they buried it. They hid it, and it was found by a farmer with his plow.
Turn this upside down.
Then took it to another guy who tried to cheat him out of it.
Okay,
there's a long story behind it. They
tried to
get it. Tried to realize it was of incredible value, and the other guy had sort of given it over to him and said, "Well, you hold all this stuff. You know, I don't want it."
In the meantime, that other guy was just crawling into the sarcophagus with the mummy.
Oh, there was no mummy in this case, but there was a mummy, which has since disappeared, of Akhenaten. But it's been said by some occultists that this mummy was hideously desecrated.
Yeah, it was
because
a secular mummy.
It was necessary to show the power of the return of the old gods with the accession of Horemheb.
Sexually abused by its later discoverers.
Nice. Akhenaten had prominent breasts and buttocks, which indicate
his
a hormone disorder.
Buttocks.
Yes, true. He may have suffered from two genetic disorders that affect body shape. An overproduction of the enzyme aromatase, which is instrumental in the body's production of the hormone estrogen, is the likely culprit. In males, the disorder results in the development of feminine traits by puberty.
If you're listening to the show, it's happening to you.
Akhenaten's prepubescent daughters with well-developed breasts
supports the genetic disorder theory.
And if you're driving, it's going to be really confusing.
Where the crocodile of death, Seebeck, lurked beneath the skyboat, piloted each day across the heavens. But sinister forces of the god Set and his dark minions threatened even the light of the life-giving solar disk.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a big move to make, you know, just say we're only going to have one god.
Another genetic disease, craniosynostosis, which can result in the joints in the skull fusing too early, could have caused the fellow's elongated H.R. Giger-like head and neck. Egyptologists sometimes refer to the shape, which was common among 18th dynasty royalty, as royal head. Royal head.
Sure, they call him royal head, they call him big head, they call him...
Illustrations of Akhenaten's daughters also show that both of the young girls also had the elongated head, as do mummies of his many children. Because although Akhenaten's mummy was hideously defiled and concealed from sight, the mummies of his daughters were found, and they all have the elongated head.
Were they in fact
some have claimed that they were aliens, but of course this is an absurd tissue of nonsense. They don't have to be aliens.
Well, are we all aliens? Right? Are we all?
Now, one of the prodigies, in fact, was child King Tutankhamun. And some believe he may have even been Akhenaten's own son.
He believed in world peace.
Perhaps DNA analysis of hideous mummies from the pharaonic line and their descendants may one day confirm this sizzling scientific theory. Eh, Philo?
Yes, that's right. Dr. Howe, this question from behind. Where do the mutants line
up? Oh, mutants, they line up on the left, on the left side over there.
On the left side of
in the anteroom. Mutante.
And if they want to, they can watch the Frank Moore show on the TV feed while they're waiting. Now, let's remember that mutation is, after all, the organ which drives evolution forward.
I like organs that drive evolution forward. Mutante.
That's true, yeah, driving organs.
We call them
Let's reemphasize that this is not a worldwide drug abuse religion.
Of course not.
This is simply a mind control call.
Curation.
So what did you think of your gift from Onan?
Mind control call.
Was it,
that's all.
Was it what
his
you like?
His only purpose is to seek world dominance.
I thought it was kind of cool.
As long as you're upfront and honest about that, you know. I think it's all wood.
I wonder where I could get hold of ancient crumbling newspapers like that. There must be some archive, some place where... One could acquire such art.
We don't ride little tricycles in the street.
Now let's go over that again.
That's the Shriners, I thought.
You saw
a little car.
Shriners, $1.
I want one of those little cars.
I do. Would like to have one of those little cars. One of those little tricycles.
Can the subgenius truck, can we look into that? See about like a group sales plan or something?
Yeah, there should be a subgenius version of that with all these little philo heads. Driving around in little cars.
Yeah.
Little overmen.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. I'd be one of them.
And we should all wear those masks that those amino acids wear. So none of us can see where we're going.
Exactly. And also, you drive around like overmen, then you take off the overman head and you're in that mask.
Hey, you know what? I really like those amino acids. Can I tell you that?
They
made me freaking cum all over the goddamn
floor. They're the best subgenius band since Swingin' Love Corpses.
They
made
good.
Me so excited. I had to take off all my clothes.
Which is the best subgenius band since the band that did not speak as
And then their theremin player jumped down and was... bending over me, and I was bending backwards in a back bend, and then I would lean forward, and I was naked, I tell you.
It sounds like yoga.
It was a little like yoga, but it was yoga at a very fast pace.
It's a good thing when you're naked and you jump into the corner.
And then there was a time when she was singing, and this other naked woman came up and started jumping around and and pestering and bothering her.
That
woman
was annoying.
She was annoying. I felt for you on that occasion.
Well, that's okay. You know what I really enjoyed? Anomi has pictures of you painting my mammary glands.
What?
And my stomach. Yes, when you were in my camp, when you were painting eyeballs on my mammaries and just, big lips on
how,
the stomach.
How much, am I supposed to pay for
those fun,
photos.
Days of the X-Day time.
I told her to put them up on the interweb.
Oh, says X-Day man.
So that it can embarrass me when I run from mayor.
Scintillating close-up. Well, now
so
I'll never
hot.
Get to be a Supreme Court justice.
What?
Is that Pisces
yes,
on the line?
These pictures.
Don't forget if you
blacken my acetate.
I'm an Aquarius. What? If you trouble that.
It's so confusing. There's just so much show and only so little time.
Scientists agree, too.
Who's the boy on the other line? What's his name again?
Wait a minute.
It's George L. Rutabaga, American assistant.
Junk Bob?
Chimp Stop.
Chimp Stop.
It's Reverend Chimp Stop.
Like the Chimp Stops
Stop?
Here.
Where are you? What are you doing?
You know, like instead of Buck Stop.
All right.
Okay, then.
Are you wearing panties?
See what the show has come to now.
I never wear panties except on my head where they belong.
Monster from the ocean floor.
Boxer shorts with monsters on it.
How about...
On the shores of Nostradamus, by the shining
What was that other one? It was it Monster from the Ocean Floor? No, it was not Beast from the Haunted
Sea.
Creature from the Haunted Sea. Creature from the Haunted Sea. Which was the one with the Cuban revolutionaries, the monster, you know, they had a machine gun mounted on top of a Volkswagen, and they all looked like Fidel Castro, and some AIP atrocity.
Something from the deep on that one.
Some kind of monster. Maybe it was Monster from the Ocean Floor. Some kind of monster, I'm telling you that
monster
much.
From the political floor.
Maybe that's the kind of monsters that Chimp Bob has on his boxer shorts. Right,
Chimp Stop has no monsters on his boxer shorts.
It wasn't humanoids from the deep.
No, it's Frankenstein and
you know,
and
I've never seen the full version of humanoids from the deep.
Oh, okay.
I've
so
only
no
seen
Doug McClure.
Classic universal monsters.
Doug McClure is in Humanoids from the Deep?
Yep.
Yeah.
He is?
Yes.
Wow, I remember him from such movies as The Land That Time Forgot and The People That Time Forgot.
I like that.
And The Time That Time Forgot. Don't forget that one.
No, they didn't do that. They were going to make the third movie in the trilogy, Out of Time's Abyss, but thank God they didn't.
And The Forgotten Times That People Remembered. That was a great one.
Well, never forget to
the previously forgotten times that people did eventually remember was a really, really funny, hilarious kind of romantic romp through the Everglades that
remember.
People forgot about, but then they remembered again.
Walking in the swamp.
And they really had a great time.
Remember
that?
Splashing.
You probably don't
down.
Remember. You were too young.
Remember.
You have to be an old timer to remember back in those days.
Dracula.
You're just a child. You're just a tiny little child. Like a tiny little...
Yeah, you should change my diapers. It's been a couple hours.
Somebody's going to have to.
Maybe
I think that's why you're in there with Cardhouse Robot. He's supposed to be there watching you.
He's
I'm over
to,
here.
Yeah, there he is. Now,
I got the diaper wipes. I got the pull-ups. You should be able to take care of that by now.
I brought at least one box of baby wipes to Burning Man, and
I
am never without them.
I always keep a pack of baby wipes in my back pocket.
Well, at Burning Man, they can be a godsend, an absolute godsend.
It works even if you're not a baby.
The shower, so I'm seeing the French filmmaker had a shower.
Well, how fortunate. And I had one in the RV. I actually took a shower in the RV. Usually those things are used for storage, since no one wants to use up precious water in this
wasteful
way.
Yes, we don't want to use the precious water
but
at all.
But if you are fortunate enough to...
We save our spit.
The water truck, and that is exactly what happened. The water truck came and filled us up, so we had all this water as well as four walls and a... You know, that makes a difference.
Yeah, but you had to sleep on that bed that was covered with nails.
There were no nails, I
told you.
And watch endless Matlock episodes.
There were 20 nails, but maybe no more than that.
Pornographic remix of a whistle song that I sang and grunted through.
At some whistle stop?
It had something to do with Matlock?
Do you know?
Matt Love. Oh, how did the quiz show go?
The quiz show? You shouldn't say quiz show when Mandy is in studio.
You could say Doug McClure, though.
Yes, you may remember him from such movies as The Virginian, where he played the titular role.
Don't forget when he played Cleet Madden in Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
Cleet Madden, now that was a role.
That's a heck of a name there.
Remember Gene Evans in that episode about the little diggy doggy that dies?
Yeah. Oh, man.
I really liked
that. That was
really
a sick
one. Yeah, that one kind of made turn my stomach a little bit.
And that was a great thing about it. It really had a nauseating, pulse-pounding, and a lot of that had to do with Gene Evans himself, just the way he looked and the way he acted.
I liked Scott Baio in The Bread Mice Eat.
That was on an Alfred Hitchcock Presents. I thought Scott Baio wasn't even a little squirt in somebody's whatever. When
Slapper Jones in The Legend of the Bung Monkey.
Well, now there was also Ralph Fielding Snell in Combots on Parade.
Yeah.
And he did one science fiction episode.
People didn't know how wide his repertoire was.
Based on John Wyndham's novel, Consider Her Ways, where a man, he goes to sleep and he wakes up in the future in a feminist dystopia where women are in total control and blah, blah, blah. But it's better than you'd think from that description. There's actually some thoughts on this.
It's more utopic than dystopic?
It's like men are either extinct or just
subservient, totally subservient to women, right? Way to go, man.
It was the art. It's the only science fiction episode that was ever done as an Alfred Hitchcock. And it was when the Alfred Hitchcock Hour expanded from a half hour to an hour, just as the Twilight Zone, also during this time period, expanded from a half hour into an hour.
Every now and then.
Sometimes they just need a good spanking.
Sometimes I feel discouraged.
Sometimes you don't.
My work in vain.
Yeah, sometimes you feel discouraged.
But then
sometimes
the Holy Spirit revives my soul again.
Now, did you see Doug McClure in Warlords of Atlantis?
Yes, you may remember him from such films as... But wait a moment. Warlords of Atlantis? That was a weird outfit. They were fake Hammer films. They were even less budgeted than Hammer films. And good evening.
And sometimes, though, they had Peter Cushing in it.
And a cushy job it was.
And Peter Cushing brought that sort of Hammer credibility to that.
Cushing was one of the stars of Hammer, all right. He was a fine actor in his way, and so was Christopher Lee.
Christopher Reeves was a wonderful actor.
When the
Christopher
police
Lee, though,
investigated
the, actor.
The contents of Fat Mandy's refrigerator,
should have done a Christopher Lee does Christopher
was
Reeves,
put on
but
ice.
That's just the age thing.
It really is a shame. She should have shown the cops the door. Instead, she herself will spend some time in the cooler. Good night.
I remember that time.
Yeah, I used to watch it religiously.
What a great show.
It had great writing.
Did you send them $20?
The Alfred Hitchcock Hour is brought to you by Newport Cigarettes. Fresher than any other menthol cigarette. By Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. When you've got a job to do, reach for something good to chew.
And by Halo Shampoo.
You can always tell a Halo girl. You can tell by the shine of her hair. This is Fred. He works in the office, morning till night, answering phones, delivering sandwiches.
He'll answer the phone 27 times in the next 2 minutes.
But he doesn't care because he's a Roy-Tan man. He smokes a Roy-Tan.
Take a puff off of that.
Man-to-man, smoke a Roy-Tan. Man-to-man,
that's a cigarette.
Smoke
cigarette.
A Roy-Tan cigar. Man
that's
to man, smoke a Roy Tan for a taste that is better by far.
Man, oh man.
And they are mild.
Yeah.
He's walking real tall.
Sure is a satisfying show.
Father should. This father's mighty proud. His reason's twice as good. He's an R.C. Dunn man.
How we have to get the band together.
The band, yes.
Yeah, we got to get the band back together, you guys.
Yeah, we got to get the band together, and we could get our friends all to wear funny costumes.
We can get Lenny. We can break Lenny out of jail.
A show in the old barn. It'd be swell, and we could get everybody to come, and they could give us 25 cents for a
ticket. All the kids in the neighborhood will play. This will be great. Yeah, your dad's got the barn.
There's breathing in my barn. Surround the area.
Oh my God, Billy knocked the lantern over.
What is it, girl? Are you saying someone's trapped in the old barn?
No! Oh, no. Dad's barn is burning down.
Well, that was a bad idea, huh?
That was unfortunate. I had nothing to do with that idea. That was somebody else. Oh, excuse me. I've got a call here.
Call the fire department.
Where's the fire, Lieutenant Bradshaw?
Okay, Lieutenant Kratzky.
Okay. You know, this all reminds me of an amusing anecdote. It seems that the most magnetic objects in the universe could cause extinction across the
magnetic
planet
objects.
Earth. Yes, magnetars, as we call them. Similar to the gamma ray bursts, which
I heard something just recently that said that gravity causes cancer.
Well, it's not comedy, I've got to tell you. Comedy doesn't cause cancer, just gravity.
I agree.
Gravity causes cancer.
Gravity waves at anybody who might be coming by.
Not only that, I heard that lunch, it turns out that
beautiful
lunch
hair,
is absolutely the actually the most important meal of the day. Lunch is.
Lunch?
Why not breakfast?
Yes.
Let's make breakfast
is no longer
the
most important.
Who says?
Breakfast has dominated that whole thing. It had a hegemony on that whole most important meal thing for a long time.
That
way
sounds
too long.
Pretty bogus to me.
Lunch is actually the most important meal of the
who
day.
Who says? The American Association.
A new study by experts proves that lunch is the most important meal of the day. That's all you need to know is that it was a study and experts did it.
I like breakfast and second breakfast.
You know what I like?
So can I still eat
lunch.
Three meals a day, though?
If you eat breakfast at lunchtime, it's okay.
I could just group everything together, eat breakfast
three meals
at
one time as long as it's at lunchtime.
At three in the
lunch
afternoon.
Lunch starts at 8 and ends at 6 at night. That's a different
I have
issue.
No problem with that, and my employer shouldn't either.
Your employer should be subsidizing this.
As long as you don't work it like a buffet or something.
Your employer should pay you to stay at home.
There are certain
and not work.
Level requirements I have.
Now, why would anyone do that?
Why shouldn't they? Why shouldn't they? Why shouldn't your employer not pay you to stay at home and not work and stay away from the office as far away as you can get from the office?
So much sense.
Well, it may come to that.
All of that non-productivity and disruption that you bring to the workplace will be
it's like the U.S. government paying farmers not to grow soybeans.
So they don't really know it's wrong.
I'd gladly
Once
accept
we can get this, bring some efficiency back to this operation and get rid of this highly inefficient worker, we can actually justify paying the worker to stay at home.
I'd gladly accept a government subsidy to not to grow soybeans. I also promise not to grow corn, alfalfa, and many other crops. If the government will just send me the check.
If the government will send me the check, I'll promise not to do a lot of things.
There are many farmers
That's
who collect such checks.
Because
That's
we are great men.
Made not to grow certain special
And we're
special
anticipating
seed
a participation.
But they can't be emotionally satisfied.
Emotionally,
well, it all depends on your psychological
makeup. You're right, it's not
makeup.
Emotionally satisfying.
There's something about being
okay, how about this? The government pays me to be a professional
rural
hobbyist.
Rural areas which can cause farmers to
you,
crack up and go second.
Just reminding
Perhaps.
You. Is it a whim? But I need some capital to keep this hobby this hobby business going.
Understood.
This is a business
show here.
Where
trying to do a show.
All he does is just
Are we
going to
sing some songs and do some dances?
Yeah. No.
Oh,
no. He broke the song.
Clean
oh, my
that
gosh.
Up.
That's a mess.
Well,
can we call somebody to clean that up? We don't have to
do you have a man?
We've got a man that does that.
He's
not a real man.
He's
got his gun with him.
Just load up a gun and shoot at
him. World
he's packing heat. He's packing heat.
By mandate makes heroes assemble. When liberty's form
comes
in view.
I'm going to hide over here while he goes through.
By banner makes tyranny tremble.
Total vengeance and be ready for us next week.
Three cheers for the red, white, and blue.
One soul per breath is all we require.
The Union forever. three cheers for the red, white, and blue. When the war winged its wide desolation and threatened the land to deform, the Ark then of Freedom's foundation, Columbia was saved through the storm. With the garlands of victory around her, as so proudly she bore her brave crew, with her flag floating freely before her. Three cheers for the red, white, and blue. Three cheers for the red, white, and blue. Three cheers for the red, white, and blue.
For you, Dr.
The Union, the Union forever.
Nine cheers.
You want some nine cheers and you want some three cheers?
Hip, hip, hooray.
Oh, look at those hips. Hooray.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Oh,
some people ask me, when is Bob coming back?
Well, you know, Bob, he's always coming and he's always going. He's really never left. He's always about us.
Yeah, I thought,
when the flies drone on summer eaves and the June bugs bash their heads against your window screen, then Bob is there. And when gasoline spills on the ground and you see that silvery, that rainbow sheen, then Bob is there.
Bob is there.
He's there in the cicadas, shrilling in the trees. And he's there in those spilled globs with the cats licking up that antifreeze. Yeah, Bob is there. There's a dead armadillo on the road, and Bob's bumper, it hit it fair and square. There's a twinkle in his eye, not a tear as he drives by, 'cause mean old Bob Dobbs, he just don't care. So keep on the grinning side, always on the grinning side. Keep on the grinning side of Bob. He will help with your career, folks will buy for you a sport. And you keep on the grinning side of Bob. When you keep on the grinning side of Bob.